number 2. Book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. I just can't get over how good it felt being in the house of God this morning. Nothing like being at the Lord's house when the Lord's at home. Nothing no worse than being at the Lord's house when He's not at home. I sure am glad He's here today. And I say this, in spite of us, most every time, He's here. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 this evening, verse number 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad it's by grace through faith tonight. And he's writing to his young preacher, Timothy, Paul is, and he's saying, I want you to be strong in grace, the grace that's in Christ Jesus. We could never have enough of that, could we? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time to gather around the Word of God this evening. Lord, there's been people in the prayer room has asked special prayer tonight. God, many needs in this building. Realizing, Lord, you're not a God of formality, but you're a God of actuality. Thank you that you are a God that we can come to in days like these. Help us now in the teaching. Would you bring upon my mind and my heart that and let us be a blessing to the people tonight. And I'll be grateful forever to you. In Jesus' name I ask you. Amen and amen. Here Paul is instructing Timothy. He said, I want you to teach some folks that they may teach others also. I'd like to share just a few thoughts tonight. I was here standing this morning and God had put this simple thought in my heart. And I've tried to develop a little message off of it this evening on some things that I'd like to teach on tonight. First of all, I'd like to talk about the text of the Bible. I want to say, first of all, there's a great impression of the text. The text has impressed my life. The text has made an impression on my life. There are a lot of things that we will go into in this walk of life that never really affect us, but I don't know, beside the Holy Ghost of God, if there's been anything that has impressed my life like the Scriptures. I thank Him for the impression of the text. Now, you'll notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and if you write in your Bible, pull your pen out tonight because I'm going to give you some nuggets in several areas and we'll be done. But first of all, you can underline that word all in verse 16. All Scripture. Look, is given. Didn't charge us nothing for it. But I can tell you this, it cost a lot of men a whole lot. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, this is a God-breathed book. This wasn't just pages that God had nothing to do and He thought, well, I'll take up some ink. But He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And look, it's profitable. Now, He didn't say, and I know singing's profitable, but He didn't say singing was profitable. He didn't say visiting was profitable. Working was profitable. He said, I want you to know something. This Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is simply the teachings of Christ that He has left to His church. But we need doctrine to know who we are. We have a Baptist sign out front to let people know what we believe. And we ought to practice those doctrines of the Bible. Now, I want to say this. I am Baptist by choice. I'm born again. But I'm going to tell you the reason I'm a Baptist tonight, because I believe our doctrine is as close as anything that's in town. I believe the doctrines of this Bible. I believe we're saved by grace. I believe it's still the blood of the Lamb. I think that men, women, boys, and girls are saved for an eternity once they've trusted Christ and the Holy Ghost has come to dwell in them. I believe water baptism is certainly something that one ought to do after they're saved, but it does not wash away sin. It's a testimony to the world that you've trusted Christ in the newness of life. I believe in partaking of the Lord's Supper as so often as you do in remembrance of Him. I believe it takes a man to pastor a church. I believe it takes a man to be a deacon. I believe a man ought to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And I believe a lady ought to be submissive to her own husband as unto the Lord. I believe that children ought to mind their parents and be disciplined. I believe that children ought to be raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He said it's profitable. And he says, I mean, not only is it good for doctrine, it'll get you doctored up and all fixed up, but he said, I'll tell you another thing, it's good for reproof. In other words, it's good that a man will take this Bible and show you your wrongdoings. It's good for correction. And boy, it's good for instruction. If you want to know how to run your life, you ain't got to go pay somebody $100 an hour to tell you that. Get you a King James Bible and read it. So there's the impression of the text. Psalmist David said in Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalms 119, notice this tonight, verse number 9, Psalms 119 and verse number 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed therefore according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And let me tell you something. We've got to know what that word says before we can hide it in our heart. He said, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How many times has the temptations of the flesh come up and the word of God was hid in my heart and give me instruction unto righteousness? Now blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. As much as is in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I'd ask you something tonight. If we spend as much time in our Bible as we did in our computers and our TVs, I wonder how closer we'd be unto the Lord tonight. I wonder what kind of instruction and benefits we'd receive from the precious Word of God, that there is no errors tonight. Then he said this, I would delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know something, folks? I was raised in one of the deadest churches in America. But they put the Word of God in me enough that I knew enough about the Word of God that helped me even when I was a lost man. And teachers, let me tell you something. You may not see nothing happen in your classes tonight, but these little old children, they are listening to the Word of God. I want to say some things that need to be taught to others that they may teach also is the impression of a text. Number two, I think what needs to be taught is the impact of our talk. The impact of our talk. Notice in Colossians 4 and verse number 6. Colossians 4 verse number 6. Paul's writing and he says this, let your speech be always with grace. Watch that sharp mouth. Season with salt. You know why you better put some salt on it? You may have to eat a few of them words. Season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The impact of our talk. Look in Proverbs 18 and verse number 7. Proverbs 18, verse number 7. I love my King James Bible. Proverbs 18 and verse number 7. I love to hear the pages of the Word of God turning at sheep food. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now look in verse 13, talking about the impact of our talk. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. You know what you better learn to do? You better learn to go to getting both sides of the story. Because it's easy to bring the wrong type of judgment. We're not the judge anyway. There's one judge. But I can tell you this, before you give your advice and opinion, you better hear the whole story. Now, I think some things need to be taught to others. They may teach others. Is the impact of our talk. How many times have we said too much before our brain was engaged? Proverbs 29, verse number 11. Boy, that would help us in our homes, wouldn't it? Did you know most of the time when my marriage has had troubles, it's cost my mouth? Smart aleck. I know none of y'all got that issue. Proverbs 29 and 11. A fool, watch this. You've heard folks say, well, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You better not, hon. You ain't got much left. A fool uttereth all his mind. In other words, there's some things you think you ought not be talking about. Somebody say amen right there. Watch this. Woo-hoo-hoo. But a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Now look what he says also about the impact of our talk in verse number 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Isn't it amazing God give us a mouth and two ears? But sometimes it like He give us a whole lot more mouth than He did ear. You know, in salesmanship in school, they taught us this. We'd go to all those big seminars, Brother Dwayne, of how to sell. This is what they'd always say. It's always stuck with me if you think about it. He said, when you go in to someone as a buyer and they're sitting across the desk and you're selling, the best thing you can do is listen and see if you might have something he could use. Tonight, we better be careful about the impact of our talk because our tongue is full of deadly poison. We better watch what we got to say. Some things that need to be taught that others would teach also. Not only the impression of the text and then the impact of our talk, but I want to say thirdly tonight, I think it would do to talk about the implication of temptation. Just because we're saved don't mean the devil's not going to tempt us. In Luke chapter number 4, I've not been able to preach this here yet. But I sure am waiting for the Lord to give me a green light. I started in one Sunday and God's given me a series to preach at places, but this is what I want to share with you in just passing. There's an implication of temptation. In Luke chapter number 4, notice the Bible said in verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And those days he did eat nothing, and they were ended, and he afterward had hungered. And the devil said to him, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread.'" Now I tell you what this temptation implies. Jesus was not looking for the devil. This implies we don't have to go looking for the devil. He comes to where we are. And Lord, help my flesh, because it's so wicked and it's so vile and it's so vulnerable and it's so weak. I don't need to put myself in wicked environments. I have enough temptation minding my own business. As a child of God, you better be sure that the devil will set many traps for you in your life. It's similar to a rabbit being chased by hounds. It's similar to a soldier in a minefield. You better watch every step you take and every word you say, because the devil will lay a snare. Because he's seeking whom he may devour. He's not happy with crippling you. He wants you out of the race. I think it needs to be taught about the implication of temptation. The Bible implies the devil's no respecter of person. And honey, if he came to the Lord Jesus himself, he has no problem coming to our house. Then I want to say, fourthly tonight, I want to talk about the immaterial of things. The immaterial of things are things that don't last, that we work like we think they will. Things. Look in your Bible in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 17. There's nothing wrong with having things. It's wrong when things have us. Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. You talk about a smart writer. This old preacher wrote, and you talk about a head full of wisdom. In Ecclesiastes 2 and verse number 17, he said, "Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me." You say, "Well, my job's hard. That's why they call it work." Adam messed all that up in the garden. He said, "By the sweat of your brow, you'll work the rest of the days of your life." That's what sin did to this world. Therefore, he said it was grievous. His work was hard. "For all his vanity and vexation of spirit. Yeah, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun." Watch this. "Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be hereafter me." Me and Miss Renee's just got a cabin put up on some property. The logs was built, or they's cut out of trees around 1820. And Brother Mike, I thought a lot about there looking at them old logs. Somebody raised young'uns in that old cabin. They's cutting that tree down 200 years ago, working their fingers to the bone. I've got it now. What are you saying? I've never seen a U-Haul hooked behind a coffin yet. And we better realize that this writer says this: "I've hated all my labor which I've taken on some, because I should leave it to the man that shall be after me." Now look what it says: "And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?" Boy, you'll get to knowing family when you go to divide an inheritance. Amen. Isn't it bad that siblings would absolutely divide their family over $1,000? Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad, people? I'm teaching some things that need to be taught on tonight. And I'm talking about this thing of the immaterial of things, that they don't last forever. They're just for a moment. Just a little while, God's entrusted us with what we've got. He said, I tell you what, He said, this one thing, when you're done with it, you don't know who's going to get a hold of it. Let me tell you something, I'd much rather give unto the Lord to see God's blessings on something or help somebody that's needed instead of stash it away. Then when I get to heaven, there's nothing there waiting on me. Because I'll guarantee you the only thing that we send ahead is what's going to be waiting on us. All this other is temporal. And it's simply things. I think everybody ought to have goals, they ought to have visions. Understand. But be careful, don't get out of balance on things. Because if you lose your family and you lose your soul, you know, there's a verse that I'm interested in tonight. In Luke 12 and verse number 16, the Lord Jesus had something to say about things. In Luke 12 and verse number 16, He spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Tonight, remember the immaterial of things. They don't last forever. And then I want to say, in closing, I want to talk about just a minute about the importance of time. The importance of time. Look back in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 3. Verse number 1. To everything there's a season and a time. To every purpose under heaven. It's a time to be born. And it's a time to die. It's a time to plant. It's a time to pluck up. It's a time to kill and a time to heal. It's a time to break down and a time to build up. It's a time to weep, time to laugh, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to give and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. It's a time to love and a time to hate. It's a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? In Job 14, boy, you're talking about a verse that's so impactful, so filled with truth. In Job 14, 1, concerning this thing of time, the importance of time. Man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. Do you remember when you thought you'd never get your driver's license? Do you remember when you thought that school would never get out and let you have summer? Man, then we stayed out nearly 3 months. Praise God. I didn't like school. I didn't even like it when the bell rung at 3 o'clock. Because that meant I'd been there all day. don't like school, but I wished I'd applied myself. But you know something, folks? Time is swift. Time's no respecter of person. Take heed what you're doing with your time. I can't tell you the importance of family. Sundays is one of the highlights of our whole family. You know what? Not only do we get together with our church family, but we're old-fashioned enough back at home on Sunday, we try to gather around. Whether it's just a Subway sandwich and chips. I love being together with that family. And you know, if you got three grandbabies and they tear the house down, say, praise God, I'm glad I've got the grandbabies. Time don't tarry for nobody. And listen to me, church. You may be 30 or 40 now, but you're going to blink, you'll be 50. And you're going to blink, then you're going to get to thinking, you know, that person that just died, I'm older than he is. Time. No respect to a person. And boy, we sure do take it for granted. I wonder if every one of us could sit right here tonight. And God said, I'll grant everybody five things they'd do over again in their life. Boy, I could fill a chalkboard in just a minute. Couldn't you? Watch your time. What we're doing now impacts what happens in our eternal world. Do you think we're just going to get saved and live here and go float around with angel wings for all time? That ain't what happens. We're going to have ranks and orders in heaven. We'll be having specific responsibilities in duty. Oh yes, we're going to praise. Oh honey, we're going to praise Him. And if a little shouting tears your nerves up, I don't know if you really want to go to heaven or not. But I can tell you one thing. Whatever we do here impacts on what we will be there. And honey, let me tell you something. If I'm the last one in line goes through, it'll beat the first one goes through the door of hell. And I'm glad I'm going to heaven tonight. I couldn't say enough about the importance of time. And I tell you what, you can ask anybody that's older in this building tonight what they would tell you about time. This is what they say. Take time for your children. Take time for your children. Boy, I wish I could do some things, but I can't. All I can do is learn from my mistakes and try to go forward. Watch your time. And I'm going to tell you this. When you don't have time to put aside the Lord's day, you've got way too busy. When you can't pray every day, you've got too busy. When we can't get in the Word of God daily, we've got too busy. Think about time. The impression of the text, how it's impressed my life. The impact of our talk. Watch our words. Let them be few. Let us listen more than we talk. The immaterial of things, the importance of time, the implication of temptation, but lastly, the imperative of trust. God wants us to trust Him. And did you know He can be trusted? You say, preacher, it's bad at my house. How bad would it be without Him? They sang the song just 30 minutes ago. I'm glad He shows Himself faithful in the valley. He's a God that can be trusted in your daily walk, in your daily living. He can be trusted. Bible said, Psalm 62:8. Psalm 62:8. Miss Jennifer, would you come tonight? Just play something ever on what instrument you'd like to play. Psalmist David, he says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation." Watch this. He only's my rock. Brother Donald, I seen something when we buried Sister Marcel's sister in the graveyard. It's really stuck in my life. As we went around to her grave, I seen a black bench, and I've said it here a couple Sundays ago, but it was engraved on it, "Here lies all of my hope and my dreams." I guess if I'd buried a child, maybe those thoughts would have been rampant. But let me tell you something. My trust goes a lot further than this world. My trust is a lot more than what's in BB&T land yonder. My trust is in the one that can be trusted. Because Brother Adam, he's never too busy to listen. He's never too busy to show compassion. He's never too busy to help me. How many people have you called? Can you do it? No, can't get to it. I'm busy. I've never called on your holy name. And you said just too busy, and I praise you for that. You're a God that can be trusted. I trust you with everything I've got because I put everything I have in you, Lord. I trust you. And Lord, you've proved yourself you can be trusted. And I thank you for that tonight. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying there's the imperative of trust. He said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." I'm glad He can be trusted. This altar is open tonight. If there's anything in your life you need, my sister, please. Whatever you need in your life tonight. Boy, it'd be a good night to give your heart unto the Lord if you've never been saved. He loves you. He died for you. He can do no more than that. You may simply want to come around the altar tonight and say, "Oh, God, help me. Help me with these things that need to be taught." You just mind the Lord tonight.